Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, we thank you today that your word has been spoken by the prophets. Your word has been spoken through Christ Jesus. And that today you are speaking your word by the Holy Spirit's power into our world. Every nation can hear that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every nation can receive into their lives the grace of God, the forgiveness of sins, the reconciliation which you've accomplished for the world, and the future, the age to come, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray today, Spirit of God, that you would guide us, prompt us, stir us, and bring to us the living Christ, that we may, in union with you, Lord Jesus, share in your mission to this world, bringing your light into the darkness. And Lord, we know the darkness has never and will never overcome the light of the world. Lord, be upon us, and be especially with our loved ones, and speak anew, we pray today, to those who have not yet heard or received the light and the love of God in their lives. We pray these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid." And if you had an angel appear to you, you would probably have some elements of fear. But she responded at that point, and without being afraid, she listened and she responded to God's word to her. And we know that because of these words at the close of this address by the angel Gabriel. She says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. So her response was a great yes. You might remember a few years ago, the Commonwealth Bank used to have that as their ad. You know, do you want to do this? Do you want some money for that? Yes, yes, yes. I don't know how it is these days, but the great response that we make by the Spirit's power and prompting to the gospel is a great and a wonderful gift of being able to say yes and to begin to live and be filled with the Spirit and to be a person who is responsive to God. That, of course, can happen anew to you today and next week, next year. It can happen to you anew as you listen and hear the word of the Lord and then respond, actually take some deliberate action in your heart, which God is giving to you. Just as a cross-reference to the message today about responding, I'd like to read to you just a verse from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. There Paul is writing, and he is just saying that we should work out our own fear and with our own salvation with fear and trembling. So careful to be responsive to the Lord and what he's saying to us. And then he says this, excuse me, "For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So God is at work in you, and it is God stirring you. It is God awakening you, both to set your will, to be a yes person, and to set your actions are also to be one who's engaged in what the Lord is doing. A number of years ago, I came across an author by the name of Tom Smale. He wrote a little book called The Giving Gift, and he speaks about the importance of this story for the whole world, the whole universe, and reminds us of what took place in a parallel to these few words. These are the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary, verse 35 of the first chapter in Luke. The Holy Spirit will come upon you or overshadow you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And of course, that's the word in response to, well, I'm a virgin. How is it that I'm going to have a baby? And the overshadowing action of the Holy Spirit is what comes and initiates and brings about the salvation of the world. And we're reminded, and I'm grateful to Tom Smale for pointing this out, that it's the same action as we see the Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 1 hovering over the face of the waters, over the deep, over the chaos, over the way in which that world darkness was across the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered or moved across the deep, and then God spoke this word, let there be light, and there was light. And so that beginning of the creation is paralleled right here in this lovely moment where the Spirit comes to Mary and a beautiful, lovely thing takes place at the initiative, at the action of God, and this young woman embraces that story, embraces that action, and she says yes. And of course, it was a great, huge privilege to be the person chosen to bring the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Saviour of the world. And we read a little later in verse 46, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." It's the other thing I need to just point out before we look at three aspects of Mary's life is that she needed a Saviour. She gave birth to a Saviour, but like you and I, she's a model of responsiveness, but she's not a perfect person. She's a person who, like you and I, has failures in her life, has weaknesses and needs in her life, and she too needs the Saviour of the world. And so you may recall a couple of aspects. I just remind you just quickly of a couple of aspects of Mary's life. When Jesus had begun his ministry and he went to a wedding in Cana and they'd run out of wine, Mary decides she'll take a little initiative here herself at the wedding, and she goes to Jesus and says they've run out of wine. And his response to her is a little sharp. Said, "Oh, okay, Mum, I'll fix that." He says, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." And so there's this little moment where, and then she kind of maybe steps back a bit and she goes, just do whatever he tells you. I'm out of here, yeah. Whatever he says, do. So, and then the servants with no wine do what that Jesus says, and of course he turns that water into wine. And there's this first indication, first sign that this man is the one who turns the water of life into sweet and beautiful, wonderful wine. He's the one whose ending is more spectacular and more wonderful than the beginning. The other incident is at the end of Mary's life, at the end of Jesus' life, his earthly life, and he's suffering on the cross. And John and Mary are nearby, and he says to his mum again, he says, "Woman, here is your son." And she is really linked in and saying, this John now can be the one that you care for. And he says to John, John, here is your mother. And in that family moment, brings them together. And we read the disciple took her into his own home. So in her grief and the mother's grief at watching her own son suffer on a Roman cross would be immeasurable. It would be enormous. And the grief of and the trauma of that. And nevertheless, she was also part of that apostolic band, that group of proclaimers whose happiness was amazingly changed and fulfilled on that day of resurrection when the good news came that the Saviour of the world had conquered death, he'd conquered sin, he'd overcome all the powers of Rome and every other evil power, and he, the Saviour of the world, was now more and more good news to the whole of the universe. So Mary needs Jesus. Do we just need to say that? You and I need Jesus, and our responsiveness we can model on, if you like, Mary's own responsiveness. Just as we come then to that, let me just remind you that without Christmas, without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't really understand the Christmas message. You can kind of get a hint of it. It's all a little bit, it's kind of got a nice feel about it, but actually the thing that's taking place and the thing that God is saying to the world, you really need the Spirit of God to show that and open that to you. And when that happens, of course, aha, everything about Christmas suddenly becomes clear. Three things that took place in Mary's life is firstly her responsiveness, secondly her purposefulness, and third is her creativity that breaks out. And we're just going to look at those three. But as the backdrop to that, I want us to see that all that Mary does in response to the Lord, all that she does in response to God, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we see Luke's gospel is the only gospel really that emphasises more than any other the role of the Holy Spirit. John has some particularly interesting passages, but Luke, he says, I've looked around and I've gathered up all I can get historically, all I can understand about this has taken place. Luke also tells us about the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts when the Spirit's poured out upon all flesh. But in a lovely way, in Luke's gospel, he always highlights the role of the Holy Spirit. And just to colour our message this morning, I'm going to read a couple of those. In Luke 1:15, we read learning about the birth of John the Baptist, and John's going to be born in an unusual way to a woman who couldn't have children, this miraculous, wonderful action of the Spirit. You'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Luke's telling the story, and we've got this baby that's going to be born, but in the womb, not even come into the world, filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that affect your theology? Does that affect, this is just an ordinary human being, but he'll be filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb. Then we see the overshadowing. We've spoken already of that. The Holy Spirit will come upon Mary. There's this overshadowing. Then we read of Elizabeth. Elizabeth's pregnant with John the Baptist, little baby John, and Mary's on her way over to visit, and when she arrives, we read, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So already Mary's understanding things by the Spirit's power. little John the Baptist being born filled with the Spirit, and now his mum Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit, and she cries aloud in a prophecy, really. She says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Mary's blessed, and Elizabeth's telling her she's blessed, and we're listening in, and we're blessed. And every time there's a kick in the womb of a mum, isn't it lovely to feel a little kick in the womb? Life bursting forth. But this was like a special kick. This was a sense of something the Spirit was doing to confirm. This is a prompting of Elizabeth to know the truth of who this is in this little womb here waiting to be born. Then, of course, we read Mary's beautiful song, and her soul magnifies the Lord, and her spirit rejoices in God her Saviour. We probably hear the words so many times, but she can't tell out the greatness of her soul. There's something massive happening here. It is the redemption of the world. It is the beginning of the age to come. It is the start of a new creation. And you and I, filled with the Spirit, if anyone's in Christ, they are new creation, part of that new creation. So that is the joy, that is the anticipation, that is what's happening. And then, of course, John the Baptist is born, and he's baptizing with water, and he says, "After me is coming one, I'm baptizing you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Again, that's Luke tells us that in 3:16. And then at Jesus' baptism, we read, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism. And then in 4:1 we read, Jesus returned full of the Holy Spirit to the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then we read of his proclamation, his preaching ministry, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, Luke 4:14, returned to Galilee, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me and has anointed me to bring good news, freedom to the captives and sight to the blind." So the role of the Holy Spirit is big, and it's gentle, it's quiet, it's deep, it's powerful, it's wonderful. And the Holy Spirit, same Spirit Jesus is baptized in, is the Spirit he pours out upon you. Wonderful. So these are my 3 points in really speedy time. Luke 1:38, Mary is responsive, point number one. Luke 1:39, she gets this word, and then this is what happens. In those days, Mary set out. You need to set out. I think that's one of the beauties of those Billy Graham crusades, is people actually made a start. They listened, they heard, they believed, and what were they? They got out of their seat and they made a start. I'm going to be in this. And they were filled with the Spirit and believed the gospel. You've got to set out. Have you set out yet? In response to the Lord, in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. She had heard the word, she'd said yes, and then she engaged her will in the action and the life that God was calling her to the next thing. She was purposeful. You can be purposeful home in your house with COVID-19. You can be purposeful wherever the Lord sends you. You can be purposeful because the Spirit has given you a role, a share in the mission of Christ, a share in the age to come. And he's at work enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And finally, the third thing that Mary does is she responds creatively. Last week we saw the creativity of the Sparks team with, you know, the beautiful set they put here for us, the lovely way they combined the story together. And, you know, it was just magnificent. You know, Nikki Rimmer's the only creative person in our whole congregation. Did you know that? No, that's not true. God has extremely given her creative gifts, but he's given you creativity. He's given to you the ability and capacity to be creative. Sorry if I embarrassed you, Nikki. I had a stern look at me there. Anyway, embarrassed me now. You have been creatively filled with the Spirit to share uniquely in the only way you can in the mission of Christ. There's a wonderful thing, and Mary gathers up. You know, she's a young woman and she's heard the scriptures, she's heard bits and pieces along the way. The stories come to her, the Spirit's filling and overshadowing her and all of that. And then she writes this lovely song. It's based a little bit on Hannah. Maybe she went back and pondered over what the Spirit said as Hannah gave birth to a child. And Hannah praised the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, for he's looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed. Blessed Mary. Sometimes we don't give Mary a big enough role because, you know, we're a bit tentative about the overemphasis in, say, the Roman Catholic Church. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'll say any more, say no more. Shush. Mary's a great blessed person. She is our role model in a way of responsiveness. She's a person who needs Jesus as Saviour, and yet she responds with a yes, she responds and acts, and then lets the creativity of her life flow out. May the Lord continue to prompt you. May you be responsive to the prompting and the spontaneity of the Lord blessing you in action and giving you a fresh thing to do today and tomorrow. My little song that I wrote there, the last few words really were an asking for that to happen again. Fan aflame my jaded spirit. If ever you've had a year to get your spirit jaded, this is the one. Fan aflame my jaded spirit. Reach into my depths, O Lord. Recreating, rich love sending, praise again shall issue forth. May the Lord add his blessing to the word today. And as we saw, Mary's life didn't just stop being creative then, all the way along. She was pondering this Saviour. And at the end of her life, she was proclaiming this Saviour and enduring the sufferings that came with loving and knowing this Saviour. But one day you and I will have opportunity, I'm sure, to meet Mary and call her blessed. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit poured out upon all flesh. We pray that we ourselves might be receptive anew, filled anew with the Holy Spirit's power. Thank you that you bring us the forgiveness of sins. You bring us the reconciliation with God as our Father, the Most High God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bring us your friendship by the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you too for the purposefulness that we can set out as we leave today. Help us to set out and to be creative, recreative, newly involved in all that you've given us to do. Lord, we feel our weakness sometimes in the sight of this great gospel, but we thank you for your Spirit, and not by might nor by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Lord, we receive your word to us today and say, here am I, let it be to us according to your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.